Hi, this is Pam Taggart with the Nebraska Department of Education. We'll start our conference call shortly. Thank you.
Hello? Oh, okay. This is interesting. I like it's on. Mm-hmm. The webcast? It's just a conference call, but it said you're logged in or... And the person here, have a seat.
Okay.
Oh, he'll pull up one too.
So what am I doing? There, pick up the speaker. Can you hear?
Is there anybody here?
You know, I did it again, and it says Lisa Miles has joined the conference.
Okay, so maybe that's supposed to start here, like, in 5 minutes or something?
Yeah.
Or?
So... And sometimes they can, that's why I don't know if they're hearing us, or they can mute us from their end, I think.
Uh-huh.
But they've had trouble before with some things.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's saying we're logged on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy to just hang out and listen. I will take notes even if I don't understand.
It's not on hold, though. And this is the person, so that was what I was wondering, if they're having trouble, as people log on, sometimes they send an email, so that's going to leave that up. Okay, so everybody must be laughing.
Accept all of these to add onto your calendar, or do you just go?
They have nothing to do with me. I don't accept them on my personal calendar.
I end up accepting everything so that I don't ever forget.
Well, it's probably good for you all to know, but like some of mine, it just clutters it up, and then I forget to even go where I'm supposed to.
This is Pam Taggart with the Nebraska Department of Education. Do we have some people on the call yet?
Yes, Pam, can you hear us?
Yes, great.
Okay,
it's
one of our secretaries and myself. We're here listening, and I have another meeting on student events that I really have to be, because this is when we schedule them for the coming year.
Okay.
Also,
And who? And who was that told me about the events meeting?
So it's Lisa Miles. And so
okay, Lisa.
I'll listen, and then I'll just fade away, and she'll take notes. And so
we've got
a representative here at ESU 13. Thanks.
All right, sounds great. We'll start just shortly here. Thank you.
Put on a speaker.
Yep. Should we go ahead and get started?
I don't hear the speakerphone.
It's
on
speakerphone. Okay, this is Pam Taggart with the Nebraska Department of Education, and I have Jill Arendt, Eva Shepherd, Marilyn Peterson, and myself in the room. We have a new member, and I'm going to let Marilyn introduce Dean Folkers. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to let Marilyn introduce Dean Folkers.
I think we're going to give us a few minutes here because people are joining in, and every time we start to talk, somebody joins in. So just hold on, and we'll start in a minute or two.
I know why Troy keeps calling like off.
Well, good morning. We're going to go ahead and start, and I think we may have people who are still joining us. This is Marilyn Peterson, and I would like to start us off the introductions, the first agenda item, by introducing the new administrator of the Data Research and Evaluation Team. As you know, I have been here as an interim until a new person was hired, and Dr. Dean Falkers joined our staff last week, Monday, as the new administrator. Many of you may know Dean. He was in the department a number of years ago, serving us in the state in the career and tech ed education section, and he is now going to be the new team leader of the data research and evaluation team. So Dean has joined us. We also have Jill Aron, Kathy Shepherd, and Pam, and I'm now going to turn it over to Pam.
Okay. I'm going to do a quick roll call. If I don't call your name, or I'll call your name, but I do know some people from the check-in that I heard, so I'll tell you whether I heard your name or not. Amy Shane? Anna Uden? Barb, I heard you check in with Ellie Schroeder.
Yep.
And Bev Lobby?
Yes.
Bill Pulte?
Yep.
Bob Hastings? Kathy Emmerich, I heard you check in. Chris Deloy? Cindy Rotter Hansen? Dave Gibbons? David Peterson?
Here.
Dr. Rex Anderson? Dr. Tammy Williams, Dr. Tori Linneman, Eileen Barks, Jeff Bacon, Jill Davis, Jill Finke, John Glenn, Kate Repass, Kathy Reese, Kim Corgan, Colby Colmuth, Christy Hayes, and I have Lisa Myers in, Michelle Hensley, Mike Schaff, Nancy Fulton, I heard you check in. Norm Ronell, Paige Fox,
here.
Peggy Medina,
Medema, I'm here.
I'm sorry, Medema. Ted Stillwell, Teresa Osborne, Terry Zessen, Wayne Wiens. Okay. All right, thank you for being patient as we go through the roll call, kind of.
Hey, Pam?
Yes?
This is Rachel. I'm here.
Who is that?
Rachel. Oh, Rachel. Oh, okay. Thank you, Rachel. Anyone else that I didn't catch on the phone call?
Heidi Miller.
Who was that?
Heidi Miller from Fairbury.
Fairbury. Okay. Okay. Down here. Okay, we're going to start with the agenda. What I'd like to do is move item number 5 up to item number 1 because, or item number 2, I guess, because we have Eva Shepherd with us today here at NDE to talk about A47 and adding that to our guidance for the graduation cohort. And Jill, did you want to talk about this?
Yeah, we are looking at adding another Q&A to the graduation cohort graduation guidance document, and we wanted to present that to you today. I'm going to go ahead and have Eva talk about it now.
Hi. Well, what we would like to do for this new frequently asked question is just to clarify when a individual student receives a graduation cohort year between 8th grade and 9th grade. And what we're trying to do is just clarify when a student completes 8th grade, that means, and then receives a expected graduation year, and that is assigned, or that student is assigned a graduation cohort year. Did they receive this definition?
Yes.
Okay,
we did send this definition out this morning in the email.
Okay.
If you did not get it, you might want to check your email if you have an opportunity to do that right now.
I didn't get an email this morning. This is Peggy.
Oh, okay. Well, what I can do is
I can go through it.
The question is, how should a district report a student if he or she completes the 8th grade level but does not return in the fall of the following year? The district determines if the student completes the 8th grade level. If the student completes 8th grade level in the fall of the school, or I'm sorry, in fall of the school year following completion of 8th grade, the district would report the student in grade level 9 as not enrolled, eligible to return. That's the enrollment code 205. The student is a first-time 9th grade, and he or she is assigned an expected graduation year. Once a district determines that a student has transferred to another district, the district would report the student in grade level 9 as transfer out. That's the school enrollment code 201. If the student does not re-enroll in school during the school year, or before the last Friday in September of the following school year, the district would report the student as in grade level 9 as a dropout. That school enrollment code is 202. We just want to make sure that there are not any further questions or considerations for this frequently asked question. Is there any comments, concerns? We're making an assumption the district is the one that determines that the student completes the 8th grade level, and that if the student completes the 8th grade level, he or she will be assigned a graduation cohort year.
It should probably be noted, this is Rachel, that this is a change in direction for NBE. In the past, we have allowed districts to put them through at the 8th grade level so that they avoid setting the cohort for the receiving school. So if people on the call perceive this as a change, then it is, in fact, a change.
I guess I'm confused because in our graduation cohort guidance, we state that if the student is a 9th grade dropout, they will receive... is a 9th grade dropout, the student will have a graduation cohort year assigned. So we're not changing our direction. We're just clarifying the document through this FAQ.
The difference, Eva, is that we would not necessarily in prior years have advocated saying to make this child a 9th grader. They would have stayed as an 8th grader to go on to the 205 status.
Can I just stop in the office?
so that we did not set the 205. I just want to clarify, because in the West, at least, and there are people on the call that I have counseled this way, I am standing up and saying that's a change.
Any reaction from the school people? What have you been doing?
This is Kathy at Hastings Public. We were leaving them as an 8th grader and a 205. I never reported them as a 201 in 9th grade.
Anybody else?
Bev in Lexington, we did the same thing.
Paige Fox in Grand Island, we did the same thing.
All public schools, we acted in accordance to the ruling that was just clarified. Counting the 9th grader and cohort dropout.
Okay. Well, our guidance evidently did need to be clarified, because it was the original intention when we went and developed this cohort graduation rate that a student who was in the 8th grade needed to be moved to the 9th grade, and if they didn't show up for school, they still were a 9th grader.
We are following the federal guidance, not just for cohort, but also the guidance for dropouts.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we also have a validation error warning, I'll have to look, for students that go from were in 8th grade that maybe did not move to 9th grade. I'll have to look and see about that.
We do have two validation errors in order to determine show if we believe the student who is a dropout or not enrolled in another school did transfer to another district. So that'll find those dropouts. But we also have another validation error that will look at students, and they are possible dropouts if we do not see an enrollment record following that dropout school enrollment code of a 202.
Is there any other comments? We will probably include this in the guidance that will go out in the for the 13-14 grades documents that will be available during the data conference. So if there's no other comments, then we'll move forward to our item number 2. And thank you, Eva, for your assistance.
No problem. Just for clarification, so the graduation cohort guidance is going to go out along with the student grade.
Right.
Is that right?
It's all we're in the process now of reviewing all of our guidance and instructions. So changes will be coming up through that process in all of them. So, yes.
And if you do have any comments that you didn't want to make today or would like to make sure that we hear, you can email Pam Taggart at nebraska.gov, and I will make sure that they are discussed internally. And if we need to, we'll bring it back up to the group. So let's move to number 2, which is the continued discussion on the proposed definition for school of membership. Jill.
Yes, and just want to bring up real quick, we did email out both this previous question, the cohort guidance document, and the school of membership definition this morning. Did anybody actually get that email from us?
No.
I did not.
No.
Nope. Okay, there's been some email problems here, so apparently it got caught up in a state email server problem. I apologize for that. The definition that we talked about last month, I'm going to go ahead and read it to you again. For most students, the school of membership is the school where the student is enrolled for the majority of their instruction. For students attending a program, i.e. Focus, Rule 18, ESU, or alternative programs, the school of membership is the school where the district would be enrolled either due to residence in the district or due to assignment. We have discussed this definition internally. We did discuss the possibility of changing it to location of membership, which was brought up last month in the conference call, and the decision internally was to leave it a school of membership, partially because the field that we are going to be referring to in the NSSRS instructions right now is defined as school in the template instructions, and so we decided to keep it a school of membership. Does anybody want that read through again?
And just remember, this is not additional data or an additional field. What we're trying to do is clarify our instructions as we go through this revision process. And so hopefully this will make sure that we are catching these kids and helping prevent the errors and problems on your part in terms of by providing clear guidance.
That's right. Yeah, this is not a new field. It's just a clarification of what we're already collecting and a potential change to how we're collecting the student grade school.
And we are going to meet with the vendors related to that issue because it was brought forward in the last meeting that that might be a big one for them on student grades. We're going to try to meet with the vendors after the data conference, shortly after that.
Okay. So any comments about this definition? Okay. So you will be seeing this showing up in our 2013-2014 documentation, including the student template instructions.
Okay. I guess we'll move on to number three. Busy. She's been busy, so she's got a lot of agenda items here. She's going to give us an update on the progress report on the NSSRS validation regarding the student lookup for newly arrived or newly enrolled students.
Okay, that is in progress. Right now, what we've decided to do for the initial rollout of this lookup, it will be in the NSSRS validation website. Initially, we are going to limit it to NISA and ELDA data. So basically testing information about these students. Once that has been rolled up, we'll look into adding additional data.
You must report a student in a school enrollment
You'll have to report a student template in instructions. You also have to report a school enrollment in record for that student before you'll be able to see this information. And right now, we're in the discussion about which years of the testing data to include on this. Does anybody have any, or do you want to see all of it, the past years? Do you have any opinions on that?
I would think all of it.
Does anybody think there's any reason not to include all of it? Okay, and then what other items do you think we should then approach once we've got the testing data out there? What's the next thing you would like to see in this newly enrolled student lookup? Do you want to see special education next?
That would be good.
Think special education would be good? Okay. Enrollment records.
The other request I've gotten is ELL information, besides FED.
Okay, so I heard special education and ELL information. Anything else? If you think of something else, again, you can go ahead and email that to Pam. And we will start talking about that internally. I think the next item on the agenda is mine also. This is a progress report on the validation regarding K-8 students that did not return but had no exit code. Now, mind you, we already have a validation like this for 9 through 12 students because of the cohort. We're looking at putting one in for basically having this available for all students. We are in development on that and hoping to have this validation out by the end of March. And so please keep an eye on the bulletin for an announcement of when we have started that validation. So, you want me to go on?
We did. The reason why we did this is we did some preliminary work on this and found that there were quite a few students that kind of dropped through the cracks. And special ed in particular has a real interest in making sure that doesn't happen with their students, all students in it. So you'll want to make sure the student did not return in the next school year without an exit code. They will show up on that report, and it may be, this is something we will also talk about with the vendors, but it's going to be very important that every student either have an exit code or show up the fall or the next school year. So it's going to be comparing one school year to the next to make sure if they were still enrolled in the previous school year and they do not show up in the following school year, they will show up on this report. And if you have any issues or questions on that, you can email me. But we do appreciate your input on this to make sure that we're doing the right thing for school districts and getting the right information for our staff here at NDE, too. Yeah, Jill, why don't you go along with number six then?
Okay. We have had a proposal for a new Head Start flag be collected in NSSRS. This is coming from our early childhood staff. They're starting to approach the idea of possibly having this collection, having this added for 2013-2014. In looking at our different templates that we have, we're trying to make a decision about where we could potentially collect this information. And essentially, this will be a Head Start flag for early childhood children with a program's fact record and their participation info code could be, we have six of them right now, EC001 through EC0006, and it would be applicable to all but the EC0005 Early Childhood Birth to Age 3 Endowment Grant Program code. A couple of the options that we are looking at, the first one would add a program's code to the program's fact record that we're collecting for early childhood. Currently, for the program's code for early childhood, there's only one code that we collect. It's ERLYCHLD, early child, basically. And it's essentially for any program's fact record that applies to early childhood would have that code. The proposal we would have for changing, for making the change to programs fact would to be to add a second code here. For example, possibly ECHEADST, which would be like early childhood, Head Start. And essentially, any early childhood student would need to have one of these two codes. If you're a Head Start student, you would list them with the new proposed program code. If they were not a Head Start student, you would list them with the program code we have always used for early childhood. One of the advantages of going this way is that it actually would be less work for the vendors because they would simply need to add an additional code into their drop-down for what you would choose here. It would also only apply then to programs fact records, and so we'd only be collecting it on early childhood children. And again, this is a change that we would be making for the 2013-2014 school year. The second option that we are looking at is possibly adding a field to the student and student snapshot templates. And the proposed field there is a field for pre-K program code. And we would have for 0 as either the student is not pre-kindergarten or the student is pre-kindergarten but is not participating in Head Start. And then we would have the option of 1, which would be pre-kindergarten participating in Head Start. The advantage to this is that it is fairly straightforward. One disadvantage would be we'd be collecting this information on pre-K through grade 12 children.
So most of them would be 0.
So, yeah, most of them would be zero. Both of them would require additional validations that you would not be able to use the Head Start indicator if the student was reported as EC0005. We would also obviously have to have a validation on option where we added students in Chappell to make sure you weren't using a number one for any student who was not pre-K. Anybody have any opinions on collecting it via Programs Fact as opposed to collecting it via the student template?
I think the Programs Fact sounds simpler.
Who would report?
For us in Kearney, I think Programs Fact is a maintenance nightmare because it's a whole other part of the program that we have to have somebody maintain. So, I mean, like now the Carl Perkins is, we have so many students to maintain to go into that we just do it manually. We pull the template and then we pull the career courses and then we market. We have somebody market from there because the maintenance of it is the nightmare when you get into the Programs Fact. The way PowerSchool has decided to have us enter that is a maintenance nightmare in a large district.
Okay. Anybody else?
Would this apply to all Head Starts or just Head Starts that are part of a public district? I'm a little confused about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That would only be for children who are already being reported via NSSRS, so we're not going to be adding additional students.
Okay.
So, no, this is just for the ones coming in through NSSRS already, trying to identify which of those students are Head Start.
What about special ed students, pre-K special ed that are going to Head Start? Those would have to be reported that way?
Do you report them in NSSRS already?
Yes.
Then they would be.
But
okay.
Do you report them with a Programs Fact record?
I haven't been,
yeah.
But we don't. The Head Start is run by Northwest Community Action and not by us. So
mm-hmm.
I've only just been reporting them as getting special ed services, and so they have a special ed record and a student and an enrollment record.
But those students are not getting the pre-kindergarten from you. They're getting SPED from you and another provider's doing the pre-kindergarten, right?
Right, right.
Those students you would not be recording as Head Start because you don't have a Head Start program.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, that clarifies it for me. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's a good question for the instructions to go along with it.
Absolutely. You would not report any kids with a Head Start flag if you did not have a Head Start program at your school.
Okay.
Okay, so it won't affect Kearney then, so it's okay.
That's a good question, though. Any other circumstances or situations that may be unique that we need to address?
And any other opinions on option one, which is Programs Fact, versus option two, which is the student template? Okay, again, if you have additional, you think of something later, you talk to someone else later, and they have an opinion, just email Pam with that.
Okay.
Before we move on
okay.
to something else, I would like to take this moment here to thank those of you who sent in ideas for the data conference, for the data stewards. I appreciate that. We did get a number of responses, and we're in the process now of kind of organizing our presentations, and we have a lot of topics that we think will be specifically for data collection and the data steward work that you all are doing. We're also looking at providing some courses that are more in-depth for anybody that wants to, last year we had, I guess, pivot tables using Excel, but also another one we're thinking about is a data analysis like comparison of years using Access and FileMaker Pro. So, again, we haven't finalized this list. If you think of something that, now the courses, if just to remind you, our courses were limited enrollment of maybe 10 people, and it was just an hour devoted to a specific topic, hands-on work, and required pre-registration. And we are thinking about repeating that process again this year by having some courses. So if you have ideas for courses as well as for topics, we're still working on it. We're not done yet. We also did advertise for presentations, not received a great many presentations. So if anybody is still thinking about if you're doing something that's neat that you'd like to share with your peers, you might still contact us and let us know about it.
And presentations are still being accepted through Friday on the website at ndeconference.education.ne.gov.
Repeat.
That was ndeconference@education.ne.gov.
Thank you, Jill. Okay, Pam.
Okay. The items that we have on hold are still on hold unless anybody here knows of anything that's broken loose on that. I don't think so yet, though. We are continuing discussions here on the student-teacher connection. We have an internal group that's issued. We also have a policy advisory group that is meeting next week, I think, to discuss some of the things related to the grant and the possibility of work on the dashboards. So we have a lot going on here, but you want to continue to have any of your ideas for topics. I'm going to open it up and see if you guys have any additional topics you'd like to discuss.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to talk about today?
No. Greetings. This is Dean Folkers, and I just this is day 7, and so I'm still in the stage of gathering an understanding of all the moving parts, and it's super exciting to be a part of the team and the connectivity of what's happening to and about the day. So anyway, look forward to meeting many of you in the future.
But he's catching on much quicker than because he was here before and actually was quite involved when we started NISRS in terms of one of the program staff that was involved. Okay, we have been, and I think I mentioned at an earlier conference call, we're still looking at the teacher-student connection and courses connection and so on, and as we analyze that data, we will have more questions. We just don't have them at a point yet that we can ask for input, except, Pam, I think you came up with one.
Well, we've been looking at, you had mentioned last meeting to look at the semester code, and we're looking into that, and section code has been a lot of unique uses for section code. So we've been looking at those two items and grades and how school districts are doing that. So we're spending a lot of, we're knee deep in the data. And you might also be hearing from Kathy Heskett about some 2011 issues that we're still looking at in terms of student grades being reported at the wrong location. And we're probably not going to ask for any additional corrections, but we're just going to point it out to you so as you're doing 12-13, we make sure that students are reported at the right location for their student grades records. Is there any discussion related to student grades you guys are interested in talking about? Yes.
I have some things. This is Paige Fox.
Okay.
I've been corresponding with Kathy Heskett. Has she visited with you concerning the preschool and elementary guidance that you guys have and maybe making a section for question and answers guidance just for elementary and preschool?
Yes, we are going to be updating our student grades guidance. Rachel Labounty and Kathy are, well, actually our trainers and the help desk, we've been meeting. We may also put something out in the bulletin, too, but we will probably add some of that information to the guidance.
Because what she told me, because we were contacted on the 11-12, and we had some students in elementary that were reported at an elementary school but not necessarily didn't have any grades. And what she said is basically if they were there during the school year, you needed to report them on the grades template. But my concern with that is, but they didn't complete the grade here.
Well, that's definitely a question I need to bring to the student grades group because for elementary, in the fact that they don't advance a grade, does that mean they did not complete a grade? I think that's a very good question and one that we haven't pondered yet. So I think that's a good question that I'll bring up to the student grades group.
I remember when we put that to write the guidance.
Yeah.
But we'll go back and revisit that elementary guidance piece and see if we need to pull out some questions.
And the other one was preschool.
Mm-hmm.
If you do say if they completed the grade and that counts that they need to be recorded on the grades template, if they advance to the next grade level, then that would concern me how you use that definition for preschool because a lot of times our preschool students don't advance to kindergarten but stay in preschool for an additional year. So what constitute them as course completed?
Okay. Those are both really good questions. I'll bring that. We do meet weekly with the Student Teacher Connection Group. Kathy's instructions really were not wrong, but we do need to ponder these two options. And remember that we're trying to make a student-teacher connection. And so that's, you know, where that came from. But we will clarify those two things about the elementary student that did not advance in grade, whether that constitutes a completion of the course, and preschool students that may go multiple years in preschool. We'll talk to the teacher-student connection group about those two things.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other concerns? These are great. We really do appreciate them because we don't know all these scenarios. And that's why sometimes you'll get calls from us just asking. We're not saying anything's wrong. We're just trying to figure out, well, why did the district report this way? Are there any other issues that we want to discuss today?
So you're saying we don't have to go back through the 11-12 if we're contacted and make those changes?
It depends.
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on Kathy will probably let you know whether we think we need the correction or not. We're hoping we won't have to have you make very many, if any. But we have to look at each situation to make sure whether we've got what we need for because remember, this is the first year the data are available, so we want to make sure that it's useful to the people using it.
Okay, and then I do have another question concerning that. If you have SPED students that are in your, you know, 4+ years, and they are not actually you report them because you're serving them for SPED. So you're probably monitoring some maybe activity that they're doing outside of school. So you're still servicing them as far as SPED services, but they're not completing a course per se. How do we record those?
Okay, there is some Adria Bates has been working as we get those type of questions. Maybe I'll have her attend the next conference.
Okay.
District data because there is a course code. I can't remember. I think it's 194000. Is that it? No, that's not it. Okay. There is one for that those students should be reported with. but also she has also been clarifying their guidance with districts individually, because it should not just be they should not just be monitoring them. They should actually be providing them some instruction. And it may be a misunderstanding on the requirements under Rule 51. So I'm going to have her attend the next meeting. So if anybody has questions on those type of students, if maybe you want to bring your if Adri can come at that time, if you have people that might be interested in that topic, if you would have them attend with you. And I think that's a very good topic to bring up. And they have been doing some work looking at those students age 19 to 21 and their student grades records. So I know they're also looking into that to see what districts are reporting. Now, that's not to, you know, call anybody out. What it is just to get an idea of what's happening in school districts, and also to see if they're rules and regs maybe are not clear enough in that area. Does that sound okay if we have Adria come next time?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
And this is the kind of thing we want from the districts that are participating in the call. If there's an issue that needs to be discussed, we'll get the right people here for you because we want to help you as much as you help us. Are there any other topics that you want to discuss today? I know we're getting done a little early, but I guess early is better than trying to run a little late. Our next meeting is April 3rd. Are there any conflicts that anybody knows related to that date?
Nope.
Okay.
Pam?
Yes?
Can you send out...
There actually is one, Pam. The Rural Education Conference is... I'm sorry, did you say the 2nd?
No, the 3rd.
The 3rd. The Rural Education Conference is that day. I don't know if others are attending.
Okay.
Probably not enough that would warrant our changing of this the date of this next scheduled meeting.
Well, we can maybe even send out an email and make sure if it does. I could maybe send out an email to the group to see if there is a conflict.
Yeah.
Pam, can you send out the cohort information that was discussed for the definition?
Yes, in actuality, it's stuck in the state of
server
Nebraska
somewhere, so
server.
You might get it later, but we will put it inside of an email instead of as attachment. I don't know if that'll make. We think that the problem lies in the attempt to mail things, notifications of meetings, and of course this was sent to the notification of meet, you know, the meet calendar, the group on the calendar for this, and so, but if not, we'll get a notice when the state has it fixed, and then we'll send it out again. That's easy enough to do.
Yep.
Yes, we do want you to see it. We know it's, for those of you who are visual learners like most of us are, it's much easier to deal with these topics when you can see what the wording is.
Just a reminder, too, that the data conference is April 29th and 30th, and I think the registration is open.
Mm-hmm.
So we really look forward to seeing your faces at the data conference. And, again, like Marilyn and Jill brought up, you know, if you have presentations you want to do, we will accept those through Friday. If you have any other ideas, you can send them to me. We really are looking for, we're actually looking at some outside presenters as needed.
And mind you, that link I gave for doing proposals, you can also find the link for the registration from there.
So unless there's anything else, I think we're ready to close for today, and we really do appreciate your taking time. And any concerns or questions you have regarding the agenda, the attachments that were sent out or whatever, please send them to me at pam.taggart, like T-A-G-A-R-T, taggart, at nebraska.gov. And I will, if I don't know the answer, I will find an answer for you and get back to you or bring it to the group so that we can discuss it as a whole.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The caller.
Yeah.